the Age of Vision radio show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision radio show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Vision. Today is March 18th, 2016, and, thank you for joining our radio show. I am always stunned at how fast life goes by us. I can't believe we're in the middle of March already, 2016. Today is call-in Friday. Let me give you the phone number. The phone number is 718-717-8296. I'd like to encourage anyone to give us a call and engage on anything we heard. I was actually pretty interested in my interview with Donna Gilmore on Wednesday. I thought it was a pretty compelling interview, I have to say. She's such an impressive woman, but I was really a little bit tickled about her argument that we need to vote for Hillary Clinton. We sort of got into a little bit of a banter during the interview about how she thinks we need to rethink why we're not going to vote for Hillary Clinton, if I call her Monsanto Clinton. And, people are just petrified of the Republicans. The non-Republicans are petrified of Republicans. And Democrats are afraid of Republicans, and Republicans are afraid of Democrats. And that's kind of the fear-based voting that they encourage us all to get into. And, I would encourage us all to do what we think is the right thing, regardless of what we think the outcome is going to be, because this fear-based voting is what got us into this big quagmire. I don't know how many of you out there have been watching the Flint, Michigan hearings that were going on in Congress this last week, but very compelling to see the head of the EPA defend herself, Gina McCarthy, defend herself. And her position was she just didn't see it. They just didn't know about it. If they would have only done it, and if she would have gotten word of it, it would have happened better. And she is actually still refusing to fire Susan Hedman. And, it is, as Wendy Lumetta said on Monday, every polluter's ally. The EPA is every polluter's ally. Let me give you our phone number again. It is 718-717-8296. I'd love to have your comments on the air. I know a lot of people are a little bit shy to call in, but I think that it's important that we get some type of engagement. Even if you're a repeat caller, I always enjoy engaging people on the radio. I'm going to read to you something, and this is a project that I have not really had time to address yet, but it is something that I really want to find some people to interview from the Navajo Nation and from the Native American communities around the country are being poisoned. I attended, I actually didn't attend, I actually protested at the Environmental Law Conference here in Eugene about 2 weeks ago. And on my protest sign, one part of it said 60% of all the native 60% of all native lands are uranium mine sites. I had that backwards, actually, as someone pointed out. 100% of Native American lands have more than 60% of the uranium tailings, which is the waste, on their lands. I found an article from freethoughtproject.com that was really great, and I want to share it with you. I'm going to read parts of it and discuss it as we go along. The phone number this morning, if you'd like to call in, is 718-717-8296. In the next couple of weeks, I'm actually going to be having guests with me on call-in Friday. I'll have various people to discuss ideas with. And kind of fill in the gaps while we wait for people to call us. But this morning I'm going to read to you this article because this is a very big story that nobody's talking about. You know, as I say about Missouri, ironic that Flint, Michigan is getting all of the attention about the lead in the water, which ironically, you know, nuclear pollution causes lead. It leaves lead in the water. So it's not like this is a new idea somewhere, but because a doctor was testing for it, you know, it got a lot of attention. There's children who are slow. They were able to actually see the slow progress of what it did, and there's an irrefutable I mean, when your water comes out of your faucet and it is orange, you know something's wrong. The difference with nuclear pollution is we don't see it. You can't see it, taste it, smell it, feel it, or hear it. You don't know it's there, but guess what? It is there. And we see it in the skyrocketing oncology rates, the skyrocketing diabetes rates, the skyrocketing child diabetes. What do you think those microencephaly cases were down in South America? It was not the Zika virus. It was uranium mining that had only started in 2012. Microencephaly is a signature disease of radiological pollution. Arne Gunderson was talking about it in an article. You know, I saw watched him in an interview, and he was right. The inhumanity of the Japanese government towards its own people. There was a lady from Fukushima who had spots on her skin. Her nose was bleeding. She had horrendous skin rashes. The government told her it was from stress, not from living in Fukushima. They've just deemed Fukushima to be one of the signature cities for the 2020 Olympics. They want it to be, I guess, the welcoming city. They want people to come into Fukushima during the 2020 Olympics to prove how normal Fukushima is. I mean, it's beyond me that a single athlete would even apply to go to Japan to compete in the Olympics. That's just such insanity. So the title of this article, folks, that I was talking about from freethoughtproject.com, Navajo water supply is more horrific than Flint, but no one cares because they're Native American. My interest was piqued on this when I saw Dr. Helen Caldicott's symposium in St. Louis, and a woman got up and said, you know, we've seen this on our Navajo nations, but we did not know it was here on the outside. I was kind of surprised. There was a few things that I'd really love to share with them and talk to them. It was interesting to see the language of separation, the way she talked about it being on the inside and outside. I guess there's a lot, you know, that we have all these divided communities in our country that don't exactly talk to each other. So that's part of what I'd like to do. I've actually attempted to reach out to some YouTube channels that are people that are of color and they don't have any interest in talking to me. Wonder why. Anyways, I'm going to keep at it. You know, perseverance brings success. So I'm just going to read this article and comment because it's really a short article, but it is very telling. The news out of Flint, Michigan brought the issue of contaminated drinking water into sharp focus as it was revealed that Officials at every level, local, state, and federal, knew about lead poisoned water for months, but did nothing to address the problem. And that is frankly exactly what happens with St. Louis, isn't it? They all know about it. In fact, the governor of the state actually totally refuses to declare a state of emergency. There's been over 12,000 people sign a petition in St. Louis to please declare a state of emergency so the federal government can actually bring money in to help move people and help people relocate their lives. There's 81 families that Congressman Lacey Clay has identified who need to be moved immediately. So back to this story. Under state-run systems like utilities and roads, poor communities are the last to receive attention from government plagued by inefficiencies and corrupt politicians. Perhaps no group knows this better than Native Americans, who have been victimized by the government for centuries. In the western U.S., water contamination has been a way of life for many tribes. The advocacy group Clean Up the Mines describes the nation in Navajo country, which is far worse than in Flint, Michigan. Since the 1950s, their water has been poisoned by uranium mining to fuel the nuclear industry and making the atomic bomb for the U.S. military. Coal mining and coal-fired power plants have been added to this mix. The last assault on Navajo water was carried out by the massive toxic spills into the Animas and San Juan Rivers when the EPA recklessly attempted to address the abandoned Gold King Mine. In 2015, the Gold King Mine spill was a wake-up call to address the dangers of abandoned mines. But there are currently more than 15,000 toxic uranium mines that remain abandoned throughout the United States. 15,000 toxic uranium mines that remain abandoned. Our government started uranium mines and have abandoned them. I don't know if that makes you angry, but it makes me super angry, said Charmaine Whiteface from South Dakota-based organization Defenders of the Black Hills. For more than 50 years, many of the hazardous sites that have been contaminating the land, air, water, and national monuments, such as Mount Rushmore and Grand Canyon, in each one of these, thousands of abandoned uranium mines is potentially a Gold King mine disaster with the greater added threat of radioactive pollution. For the sake of our health, air, land and water, we can't let that happen. Well, we are letting it happen, folks. It's happening right underneath our very eyes. Just like St. Louis is happening right underneath our very eyes. And in fact, yesterday while I was watching the hearings about Flint, Michigan, and watching Governor Schneider and Gina McCarthy sit next to each other and each of them shake their head in dismay while they listen to the other person answer questions about why they did nothing to help the people of Flint. I was thinking about, you know what, this is the people of Flint are still being poisoned to this day. Volunteers are bringing water into Flint. I mean, it is really a shock what's happened with the people of Flint, Michigan. While they say they care, they're implementing plans, but people still have bad water. They still can't shower. It's kind of like what happened in Charlotte, North Carolina, about 2 or 3 years ago when the Koch brothers, one of their plants in Georgia, upriver, I mean, it destroyed something and downriver, this whole plant in Charlotte, North Carolina, the water went away. And for about a year, people did not have water. But I guess it was filled with white people, so they fixed it pretty quickly. This is what we call environmental racism, folks. There is no comprehensive law requiring the cleanup of abandoned uranium mines, meaning corporations and governments can walk away from them after exploiting their resources. So the government has a right to walk away from an abandoned uranium mine because there's no law. So if they can do it, they will. 75% of abandoned uranium mines are on federal and tribal lands. 75%, folks. So the federal government is just basically, no offense, shitting in our backyards, and they just walk away from it and they don't care. Wow. Leona Morgan of The Men Know Nukes points out one example. The United Nuclear Corporation mill tailing spill of 1979 north of Churchock, New Mexico, left an immense amount of radioactive contamination that downstreamers today are currently receiving in their drinking water. A mostly Navajo community in Sanders, Arizona has been exposed to twice the legal limit for allowable for uranium through their tap water. Can you believe that, folks? In Churchock, New Mexico, downstreamers. So it's already in their drinking water. Last week, Dean and No Nukes participated in protests in Washington, D.C. to raise awareness of the past and ongoing contamination of water supplies in the West, which disproportionately affects Indian country. That protest in Washington, D.C., I saw some videos, and that's actually where I became aware of this. I watched some speakers there, and it was really a shock to understand how severely the Native American lands have been contaminated, like seriously badly contaminated. And so when that woman got up at the Adams Next Door Symposium and said, well, we've seen this on the reservation, but we had no idea how severely it was going on the outside to see it out here. That was kind of an interesting little place. So let me give you the phone number again, folks. The phone number is 718-717-8296. Please do call in if you want to engage. This is Call In Friday. You're listening to the Age of Fission radio show with Lonnie Clark. And on Fridays, I typically allow our callers to call in and engage. I think that I'm going to be changing the format up a little bit. On Fridays, I'm going to be having guest hosts every now and then. And last Friday, as you know, we did the Symposium for Life. We didn't take any calls, and we just talked about really how we felt about Fukushima. It is actually such a shock. It's kind of a sad thing, to be honest, where it's really at. Like, what has gone on in Fukushima? It's kind of like this. There's a lot of damage and a lot of pain going on surrounding the nuclear industry, and nobody really even wants to talk about it or think about it. It is so overwhelming. People are shocked. I think people are just in a state of shock over how severe it is. Listen to what these people said at their protest a few weeks ago. The delegation is warning of the toxic legacy caused by more than 50,000 AUMs nationwide. I wonder what an AUM is. Something uranium mines. Abandoned uranium mines. They call them AUMs. Oh, my God. They should work for the nuclear industry. The delegation is warning of the toxic legacy caused by more than 15,000 AUMs nationwide. Extreme water contamination, surface strip coal mining and power plants, burning coal laced with radioactive particles, radioactive waste from oil well drilling in the Bakken oil range, mill tailings, waste storage, and renewed mining threats to sacred places such as Mount Taylor in New Mexico and Red Butte in Arizona. So the way they throw this out, this is very interesting. There's 15,000 abandoned uranium mines nationwide. Surface strip coal mining, power plants burning coal laced with radioactive particles and radioactive from oil well drilling, radioactive waste. So the radioactive waste from oil well drilling, I wonder how many of us actually are aware that they use radioactive waste in oil well drilling. I mean, the complete disregard for human life by the energy companies is, well, it's indicative of the havoc they've caused on everything on our planet. I mean, this whole thrust of we have to have electricity all the time and we deserve to have more, 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 more is reckless, Caligula-like abandon. Back to this article. By the way, the phone number, if we want to have anybody give us a call, is 718-717-8296. Today is call-in Friday. I encourage anyone to give me a call. I would love to talk to somebody about what Donna Gilmore was encouraging me to do. I was encouraged on Wednesday by Donna Gilmore to just vote for Hillary Clinton no matter what, you know? So, anyways, let me see. Let me get back to this article, folks. I kind of lost it for a second. So the uranium mines, let me get back to this article because this is really a big issue that we are not talking about. These uranium mines cause radioactive contamination, and as a result, all the residents in their vicinity are becoming nuclear radiation victims, said Patush Gilbert of the Laguna Acoma Coalition for the Safe Environment, the Multicultural Alliance for a Safe Environment and Indigenous World Association. New Mexico and the federal government have provided little funding for widespread cleanup and only occasionally are old mines remediated. Only occasionally are old mines remediated. What the heck? The governments of New Mexico and the United States have a duty to clean up these radioactive mines and mills, and furthermore, to perform health studies to determine the effects of radioactive poisoning. The MACE and LASCE organizations oppose new uranium mining and demand legacy uranium mines to be cleaned up, said Mr. Gilbert. Yeah, well, you know what the government's going to tell you about that. Screw you. I mean, look, folks, there is a reason why the government does not test for radiation poisoning. There's a reason why they don't keep track of the oncology rates. Because if we actually really kept track, I mean, I actually really believe the diabetes epidemic in this country has to do with pollution. It has nothing to do with our diets. I mean, there's two things that causes this epidemic. One is the GMO contamination, and the other one is the nuclear pollution. So they get their double whammy, these Caligulas. I have to say, it's very difficult for me not to cuss. Back to the story. Politicians continue to take advantage of Native Americans, making deals with mining companies that would continue polluting their water supplies. Senator John McCain sneaked a resolution into the last defense bill, which gave land to Resolution Copper. What? Their planned copper mining would poison waters that Apaches rely on and would desecrate the ceremonial grounds at Oak Flats. Wow, I actually forgot that. Maybe that's what made my mouth drop when I read this. He actually sneaked. Now, why? This is the horrible thing about these elected officials. Because Resolution Copper, it probably paid him some money to sneak this into the, he sneaked it into a defense bill, folks. He sneaked a resolution into a defense bill that would give land a Resolution Copper that would poison waters that Apaches rely on and would desecrate ceremonial grounds on Oak Flat. While EPA and local officials have been forced to address the poison water in Flint, the contamination of Indian Country water supply continues. A bill called the Uranium Exploration and Mining Accountability Act, introduced by Arizona Congressman Raul Grijalva, has languished in Congress for 2 years. So that seems to be a little bit of theme here in Congress, where we have these Congress people who submit these bills that might actually remediate it, but the nuclear power just has the industry has just so much, has the nuclear power it just has so much, has so much, I don't know what you call it, power, that they can keep anybody from doing anything inside of Congress. And I don't know what it's going to take, but we're kind of in the fight for our lives, folks. I mean, we have the insanity right now of the nuclear industry just completely denying that radiation causes harm. They're trying to talk people into going to the Olympics at Fukushima. The uranium minings are out of control. Dr. Helen Caldicott came and had a magnificent symposium here a few weeks ago. And, I didn't even see it reported one time on the news anywhere. There was not one word about it. In fact, we hear nothing about the contamination of St. Louis on the news. We hear about the racial tension, but we don't hear about, anything about the nuclear pollution. So I don't know. We have got big challenges going on in our country, and it's not just small things that happen. We have a whole entire city in St. Louis being abandoned, essentially. I mean, we are hearing stories about Coldwater Creek in St. Louis. But the people in St. Louis are dying just like the people on these Native American lands. They're dying also. And it's not just people are dying, their children are getting sick, children are dying, and people just basically don't want to care. I was speaking with a friend of mine last night, Jana Thrift. She's the videographer for Occupy Eugene. She actually has a couple of pieces of property up in Alaska, and her children live there. And they are just crossing their fingers, hoping that nobody gets affected, because so far everyone looks right. But I don't think we can actually cross our fingers. I think we have to actually seriously pay attention to what is going on. I mean, it's so outrageous. It's beyond comprehension. I think what I'm going to do is read some nuclear events for what's going on today as of March 18th, notification reports from the NRC, so we can get some ideas of what's happening in the nuclear world that they're not even telling us about. I mean, I don't know what it's going to take to get people actively engaged to care about nuclear pollution to the point where we demand. I mean, there is no law. This article, the article that I just read about the Navajo water supply, knocked me off my seat when I read this. There is no comprehensive law requiring cleanup of abandoned uranium mines, and meaning government and the corporations can walk away from them after exploiting their resources. 75% of the abandoned uranium mines are on federal and tribal lands, and 60% of it is on the tribal lands. That's what they were saying. Over 60% of it is on tribal lands. So that means we have 15,000. Let me do the quick math because I wonder what that means. 15,000 times 60% is 9,000 abandoned uranium mines on Native American lands. What is that doing to the Native American people? We can only find out. As Dr. Helen Caldicott said, the latency period is from 4 to 80 years, so we have no idea what is going on. So on the event notification report for March 18th from the NRC, we have again another missing tritium exit sign. There's an exit sign. I don't know how many of you know this, but exit signs and stop signs, they have tritium in them. They actually use tritium in the signs. So when you steal a stop sign off of something, you're going to be bringing radiation right into your house. I wonder how many people out there actually have stolen a stop sign and have it in their garage or something. So what else? We have safety equipment failure in Indianapolis, Indiana, and Indiana at a Patriot Engineering and Environmental. Don't you love the way they call themselves patriots? They're killing the entire planet and they're killing our own people, and they call themselves patriots. It's so outrageous. It's so outrageous. Of course, there's no harm to human health. The licensee reported that the Siemens C200 gauge model L640 containing radium-226 0.005 curie source was run over by a pickup truck and damaged. Here we go, complete incompetence once again. Church Falls, Virginia, lost or stolen. Somebody stole it. So let's see, how did they steal it? Oh, the sign out to determine who was in the personnel. The log did not show evidence of the source having been signed out. So all of a sudden they noticed that it was a missing. This is just so outrageous. The NRC is just completely incompetent. Well, actually, maybe they're not incompetent. Maybe they're intentionally incompetent. Watts Bar, Tennessee, non-emergency, potential uncontrolled radiation release, accident mitigation. Wow. On March 17th, Watts Bar Unit 1 entered technical specification limiting condition of operation due to the inoperability of both trains of the emergency gas treatment system. Wow. Condition B was also entered into at this time due to the inoperability of both trains of the auxiliary gas treatment system. What is it going to take, folks, for us to decide to actively get engaged to stop these monsters? I have no idea, but you know what? I mean, I admit that I am relatively new to the anti-nuclear fight. I really did not understand it until really 2 years ago. I started paying attention about 3 years, and it took me about a year after being engaged in this to realize how intentionally incompetent our government is. The NRC right now refused to regulate anything. The EPA in St. Louis, Gina McCarthy, refused to visit with the Just St. Louis Moms. The Moms of St. Louis went to Washington, D.C. to meet with their elected officials, to meet with the EPA to say, look, meet our children. See what you're doing by ignoring this. We really need to have the Army Corps of Engineers take over this project. Frankly, I find it astounding that the families of St. Louis, all they really want is for the dirt to be remediated. They want the government to start paying attention. If it were me, I would just leave. I mean, honestly, if I had to leave everything and act like I just went through a flood and I had to start all over, that's what I would do. I personally would never allow my children to live in that environment. I would stuff us in a car and drive to a different city, completely far away, take a waitressing job if I had to, and start all over. Because it's not just they're going to be sick for a little while. These are things that are going to happen to them. And the longer you're there, the greater the risk of exposure, the chances of contamination. It's just, though, I actually really believe the whole city of St. Louis needs to be abandoned, if you ask me. I would just abandon the whole, close down the airport. For sure, don't ever travel. When you're traveling, stay away from the St. Louis airport. Don't even go through it, because the worst of the radiological contamination goes through every wall at that facility. I don't know. Americans are just passive. I mean, this is what they want. Mission accomplished. They want us to be passive. It's seriously an outrage, folks. Well, I've been talking for about a half an hour now. The phone number is 718-717-8296. Please do give us a call. I got a message on Facebook from my friend Vince Easley, and I have no idea. Let me see. Hold on just 1 second. So, look, we're now in the period of time in the United States where we're going to start talking about the next president, who's going to be the next president. And there's a lot of people in this country who feel like there's an article that came out today that said Bernie Sanders should drop out of the race. I personally think that Monsanto Clinton needs to drop out of the race. I believe she's an evil monster. So hold on, here's a call from a friend of the show. Hold on 1 second. Good morning, you're on UCY.TV Radio, Age of Fission with Lonnie Clark.
Hi, Lonnie. I'm just wanted to say hi to you.
Hi, Eric. This is Eric Oppenheim. You're in New York, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm in Brooklyn here.
Yeah. Well, thanks for joining us. Thank you so much. Is there anything on your mind you wanted to talk about?
I would think that a vote for Hillary would be a mistake.
Me too. I mean, I honestly am not ever going to. I mean, if that means. Like I told Donna Gilmore, I actually think that at least with the GOP, we know the evil we're going to get. With Hillary, we just don't know how deep her evil is, and I don't trust her. I'm not voting for her. Even if Bernie Sanders dropped out today, I'm not voting for her. And I
Yeah,
think
I
that,
think your idea of the Bernie Sanders just ride in.
yeah, just write in. That's what I'm going to do. Write in. I don't. And you know what? I think that the Democratic Party is going to be shocked out of their feet. And frankly, you know what? The vitriol towards people like myself is going to be intense. I've already had that a little bit. I've been called people like you are going to be why our country turns into a fascist state because we're going to let someone like Donald Trump take over or Ted Cruz take over, which, you know. After I held my nose and voted for Obama because I was really afraid of Romney, that was the last lesson I needed about that fear-based voting. Because I actually believe if Romney had been elected, if I had really voted my conscience and not voted for Obama and voted for the Green Party and we had Romney be elected, I think the Democrats would have stepped up to the plate and acted like Democrats. Instead of now they're just fascists, you know, like they actually, I don't know. I mean, what do you think, Eric?
I don't see much difference. I
Uh-uh.
think everything you were talking about before is true, sad but true, except that we're not passive. What do you want me to do about it? You know,
Right.
people do care. People are aware of these things. The Navajo, that's not, nothing's new here. I did want to do a shout out to Radchik. She was awesome. Christina Pisola.
Yeah, she is
She's
still
awesome.
awesome.
She's awesome. She was awesome from day one with Nubra Magic. He was awesome.
Yeah, Nibiru Magic just burned out and went away. And Radchik right now
Come.
is quite sick. I think she's sick. She put out a video that said she's pretty sick right now. So that's kind of
Yeah,
a sad
it's
thing.
sad to see that, you know, because. You know, watching new radio and all that.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, Radchik's show really woke me up when I first got engaged in this. I mean, it just sort of, I don't know what happened to it. It did just sort of disappear, but I really, you know, she put out a lot of good information. And I do listen to Popeye's show. I hear her on Popeye's show. She's on there quite a bit. She actually put out a little video on Instagram this week about a, she took a picture of a little frog. I don't know where she lives, but she took a picture of a little frog. It was a little short video, maybe 15-second clip on Instagram that showed a mutated frog. I mean, these are the things that we don't pay attention to because we just pass things by. We just look at, oh, there's a frog. But if you actually looked at it, once she stood the camera on it, its one eye was super bulging and its back was curved. It was like a crooked little mutated frog. Those are the
Yeah,
kinds, these.
she has a great spirit. She has a
Yeah.
great spirit, a lot of energy, and she fought hard. And
Well, I
she has
hope
a
that she gets well because from what she was talking about, she was quite sick. They're going through some pretty serious, she's going through some serious things. So I send out some really positive healing energy to her.
Yep.
So.
And another thing, I think Kevin's attitude is correct. I think it is.
What do you mean, his attitude of what?
Of all this stuff, just being pissed off about it.
Well, I think there's a lot of value. You know, as you know, I supported Kevin Blanch directly for 2 years. And I think there's a lot of value in that being angry, but we need to use that anger to coalesce, to create a coalition. I mean, this was one of the frustrations that I had with the Post-Ignorance Project when we had the corporation. We would do these things. You were one of the few people who showed up. People would show up, but really there's a lot of talk and no action. There's no real action. Nobody acts.
Because what can we do, you know?
I mean, well, you know, this is why I like the interview with Donna Gilmore on Wednesday. She
was awesome.
You know, I mean, she does, she really does understand. The thing is, if I would really encourage people to use her website, SantaNofreeSafety.org, as a source for how to get engaged if you have time, because she's right. It's important to listen to the conversations, like those call-ins. Use the NRC website. Get familiar with it. Get over your head. You know, if I had more time, I would be far more actively engaged in that. And I think that's what they count on, is most of us just don't have the time. She's retired. But, you know, go to the NRC website, listen to those phone calls, participate, ask questions, because it doesn't take that many people to stop them from – they're more afraid of being found out. That's why the secrecy is so important for them. They're really afraid of being found out. And I, you know, it's not that I'm not angry. I'm really pretty angry, but I don't believe that we need to sit in our anger and keep stewing over it. What we need to do
I only meant that with that, unfortunately, that is the proper attitude to have towards people that lie to you.
Yeah, well, it is important. I mean, the thing is, when people lie to us, of course, you can't help but be angry. And they are lying to us on a regular, nonstop basis. That's the thing. But that is actually part of the whole gaslighting thing. You know, that's what they do with gaslighting, is they, you know, the abuser will lie to you and keep abusing you. And then, you know, people end up basically being all confused, like, did I really mean that? Did that really happen? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's an interesting thing with this whole thing of, we're in this state of, we've been socially engineered to just be passive, Eric. That's the point, is people look at me like, wow, you're such a great activist. I consider it to be my duty as an American. That's why I supported Kevin for so long, because really, we needed somebody out there talking and doing stuff. And we really need, it's not just talking, it's about really trying to figure out ways to get some action together to put pressure on elected officials and on the NRC. We need, you know, Patty Amino, who's going to be interviewed on the radio show on Wednesday. I can't wait to talk to her again. She had a brilliant idea. She thinks we ought to unionize. And I think that's a great idea. You know, we have to figure out a way how to bring all of our little voices together, and all of us who actively want to stop this, to create a unified voice. Because what I find is there's a lot of division among anti-nuke activist groups. Everybody has their own little thing. There's a lot of Indians and no chief, no, you know, no, a lot of Indians and no chief, no, the other way around, a lot of chiefs and no Indians. Everybody wants to run their own organization, but there's no bringing together of a, and there's not, I have to say, there's not very much respect for the work that each of us do. You know, this whole idea about demeaning Helen Caldicott and saying she's a sellout, Kevin and I used to get into very big arguments over that one. I think that was a big sore point between us, because I don't think that we need.
But you know, that's kind of like blaming the Japanese when it first happened.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because you would, cause, well, why aren't they cleaning it up?
Right.
But that's naive.
Right.
You know?
Or blaming the Native Americans for the uranium mining tailings.
Yeah,
why don't you guys clean that up?
Past, you have to look way past it. And those are federal. Those are our lands. I grew up in Idaho.
Wow.
And the public forest, BLM land, or what, you know, it's all rented. And believe me, it's all abused.
Well, you know, this
all
is
abused.
This is one of the things that I really appreciate on Jules's show, First Cup in the Morning, is she reads these stories about transhumanism, right? They really are moving into that idea that we can just screw up the entire planet, pollute everything, and it really doesn't matter because we're going to make a scientific discovery that will allow, like these robots that pick the people up, the disabled people in Japan, they're so proud of their robots that can actually pick people up, right? Like that's ridiculous. The reason they're inventing these robots is because people are becoming invalid in Japan from nuclear pollution. So the solution to these scientists in their heads is, well, we'll just learn how we, I mean, the hardcore reality, Eric, is we do have to learn how to live in a radiation polluted world now. Unfortunately, I don't know how, unless we get into
But
sound healing.
we have to prove that ionizing radiation is harmful. That's what we're up against. Because
Well,
people are
we already
them.
know it. Though every study
We
shows
do.
it.
You do. We do. But it's the banana. It's the potato chip, just like Dana says. It really, really is.
Well, do you know, do
I
you
was
get
speaking to an eighth grade science teacher yesterday, and my parting words were, were that, yeah, Indian Point is leaking. And yeah, Fukushima was just 5 years. And that's the science teacher.
Look, have you looked at the San Onofre safety page? She has a really great, I'm going to try to find it. She was actually showing us, there's a page on there and I forget where it's at, but she has this huge, really great page about the banana issue, how to take action, how to talk against that. And she really talks about that.
Because it's potassium 40. That's what Dana drilled into our heads for 90 days. It's in everything, right? So we get it, but the science teacher doesn't.
Well, my science teacher, for example, I was in a science class. I had a scientific question. We had to do a research paper, and I actually found a lot of good articles I couldn't use about nuclear. But my question was, does the nuclear industry lie to us about the safety of nuclear energy? And honestly, my teacher had no idea. By the end of the term, she basically said, I think that you've convinced me. Because she had no idea, for example, that the World Health Organization was subordinate to the International Atomic Energy Agency. That actually shocked her.
Yeah, that's not news. That's
Well, it
fact.
was to my science teacher, and this is the interesting thing. I was shocked that my science teacher had no history of that. Like, this is what Donna was impressing upon us the other day in our conversation. These people that are supposedly in charge, they are listening to the wrong people. And they are telling people that it's no big deal, that radiation. Here, it's on, what page is it on? It's on the health risks of San Onofre safety page. She has a whole article about bananas and other foods such as Brazil nuts contain potassium 40, a type of radiation our bodies are used to handling it. So she talks, she goes into this whole thing, it makes a comparison. And you can, this is why this website of hers is so valuable. She has charts and she has some very easy charts for people to understand, and it explains the lack of logic. She uses real scientific evidence to refute this whole thing. And so what we really need to do is set about educating people. That's kind of the bottom line.
In a friendly manner.
Yeah, and just give them the information because once, but then we have to go through this. Here I was with my friend Jana Thrift, who is an activist, but she owns property. She's the videographer for Occupy Eugene, really great activist, understands the issue. She owns property in Alaska. Her sons live there, and she reads about it and she's like, ugh, I just can't face it. It's so overwhelming. I just don't know what to do. And I said, well, I mean, are you just hoping your grandkids don't get contaminated from Fukushima radiation? They're living right off of the coast in Alaska. You know, it's, I mean, she is aware. This is the hardest part about our journey, is even people who are aware don't have the courage. It's really about having the courage to face it. I mean, it is up to us. That's what I told her. Look, it's up to us. It's on our watch. We don't really have an option. We have got to keep speaking out, because we are killing all life on this planet. Go to the mass deaths. That's why on this show I read about the mass deaths every couple of weeks, because the mass animal deaths, every time you do that, it's, I mean, just this year alone, we've lost 100 whales on the planet already. I mean,
the emptiness is not natural.
No, what did they say? We've lost, what, 70% of all the life in the oceans. 70% of the birds, of the life, all the birds, 70%, they're less than they've been keeping track. We've lost 70% of them. You can't lose 70% of a major form of species and not all of us be impacted. I mean, it's unconscionable that they just continue to lie and lie and lie. I mean, it's, I mean, 36,000 seabirds just died off the coast of Alaska. Just that was reported 2 days ago.
How did they empty the fuel pools and on number three and safely? And what did they do with all that? Did they do that to four and then three and then? It's all lies.
Yeah, those whole things just blew up. There is no fuel in those things. Those things blew up and was washed away. They were blown up.
Lies, 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 lies.
Yeah, well, that's the stuff that makes you so angry. It's like when you're lied to all the time, you can't help but get angry. But you know what? We have to do something. You know, you can get angry and stay angry and eat off your own arms if you want. But what we really need to do is use that anger to get educated. That's what I think, education is a major factor. If we really need to make it our mission to educate people about the facts.
And the next one is there's no platform, because when you're at a store and someone's rude or the change is wrong or something, it's your obligation to stand up for yourself.
Yeah.
Which we do. You have to.
Right.
But there's no what is the platform?
Right. Well, the whole issue is, you know, we're looked at, people look at us like we're just extremists and, you know, radicals and, you know, what do they call us, conspiracy theorists? Because we really believe that radiation is harmful to us. Really? Like, the animals are dying all around us. The ocean is dying. People, the oncology rates are off the charts. The governments are lying about how many people are dying. You know, they don't even keep track.
Rachel Carlson in 66 or whatever, Silent Spring. I'm going to have that wrong. We already have that.
Mm-hmm. That's right. We already have that. That's what we're, that actually, you know, who would have thought they use these books, 1984 Silent Spring, as guidebooks? That's essentially what they've done. I mean, the oligarchy kind of went, wow, these are pretty good guidelines. If we could just achieve that, that's what would work. And guess what? It has worked. I mean, it has worked. And what really does shock me is the way that people, I've had to engage on this. And frankly, this was a big argument between me and Kevin, was about demeaning the people that are on our side. Bob Alvarez, you know, Helen Caldicott. These are people that are, you know, actually, even I've seen Arne Gunderson grow and become more of an anti-nuke activist. I mean, Arne Gunderson came into this very timidly. When I didn't start paying attention till May of 2012. When I first saw Arne, he was kind of hem-hawing around, and you could tell whenever he was on a show with Arne Gunderson, Helen Caldicott was a little bit annoyed by this nuclear person who was kind of saying it was bad, but not really, still talking and understating it. And now if you look at Arne Gunderson's statement after he's gone back to Japan, I think he's kind of taken the gloves off and realized, you know what, I can't protect my reputation anymore. And that's really where it's at. These people all want to protect their reputations, their scientific reputations.
It's been 5 years, and I saw him on day three or whatever, because he was sadly, he was our best guy.
Yeah, sadly,
And
that's right.
very sadly.
Well, the hard part is the people who could be our best guys are too, where they were too scared. I mean, why is it that we've had nobody really speak out? Why have we not had any real good scientists speak out? Except for Helen Caldicott. Helen Caldicott's the only one that's out there saying, you know what, this is a mess. I mean, did you see the Adams Next Door symposium that was posted on YouTube that she did in St. Louis?
Saw some of it.
I actually have never seen her so angry, her or Bob Alvarez. They actually really expressed anger for the first time. I've been watching them for 5 years fervently. I used to listen to Helen Caldicott driving up down the freeway of LA. She was talking about her life, and I heard her on NPR talking about how she gave up her whole life to really try make an effort and a dent in the nuclear industry to stop them from doing what they've done. But I mean, honestly, 60% of uranium tailings are on Native American lands. I'd call that a failure. And on federal lands, 75%, 15,000 abandoned uranium mines. 15,000? I mean, uranium, that's just, that to me is unconscionable.
Well, let's stop cutting down all the forests.
Yeah.
Let's grow back our forests.
Yeah,
Let's
and let's live
promote
on less.
our
Let's.
food forests in our backyards. Give
Yeah.
it back.
Yeah. Food, not lawns. That's what they do here in Portland, is there's you walk through. Mimi Gurman has done that. You know, she has a quarter of an acre, her and her partner. You know what they do? They give their food away to homeless people. They grow their food, and at harvest time, they go downtown to Portland and they give their food away to people that are homeless and to the teenage. There's a huge teenage population in Portland, so they go downtown and give food away,
And
which is.
what are they doing to their land? And what would their land be like when they die?
Right.
They're improving it.
That's right. That's right.
They're being.
Well, the hard part about knowing about Portland is really, you know, living on the West Coast, we're all under that constant anxiety that the big one's going to happen because we know it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. I mean, what'd they say? We're 100 years overdue on that earthquake, on the subduction zone up here, which really is. You know, considering we have all this nuclear pollution on this end of the continent, is it's going to be a catastrophic event when it happens. It's not going to be a small event. It's going to be, it'll change the planet once again. You know, Fukushima changed the planet. People don't even understand that. Fukushima changed the planet. It's not just another nuclear accident, mostly because it has not stopped. We have a nuclear volcano that is nonstop pouring at least. Look, if you go by the 90% rule, if they're telling us 100,000 tons of nuclear pollution is going into the ocean, that pretty much means a million tons a day. You know what I mean? Like they're understating it by a grotesque amount. We already know that.
Well, they told us that the French filters, those the cleaners, didn't work.
Well,
So
nothing's going to work.
how are they even cleaning out the water that they put in the tanks and all that? Those are
Well,
all lies.
that whole, those plastic bags, the billions of plastic bags in
Thank God.
Fukushima, they're an indication of just how completely out of control and out. I mean, that's just a waste of money. That's just digging in and getting someone getting rich, you know. But you know what, Eric? We have about 30 seconds left. So is there anything that you'd like to share with the audience before we need to scoot on?
Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for your thoughtful conversation. So
Yes.
I really appreciate it. It's been a really, you've made call-in Friday very stimulating. Thank you so much. It's up to our viewers. I would encourage everybody to put your courage feet on, take some action, call your elected officials and talk to them about these 15,000 abandoned uranium mines need to be remediated by the government. Put your courage feet on, you guys. We'll talk to you guys on Monday. Have